I'm glad you are here this morning. I want to welcome you to Mill Creek. It is great to have you today. If you're listening online this week on our podcast, thank you for joining with us there. We're starting a new conversation this morning, a new series for the next few weeks, and I'm excited to be able to do that with you. How many of you are bad at directions? You're in church? Raise your hand. How many of you are not very good at directions? Come on, get them up there. Some of you are like pointing at the person, like doing the elbow thing. Yeah, there's some of us, we struggle with directions in life. I'm usually pretty good at direction. If I can kind of know where north is, I can kind of figure my way out no matter where I am. If I go somewhere, I'm usually pretty good at kind of locking in and kind of knowing how to do that and get back there or whatever. Kim's not as good in directions. There's kind of a spiritual principle in life. I've never found it in the Bible, but I think it kind of works out. At least I've kind of learned it works out. God usually puts like two opposite people together in life. And so usually somebody's, you know, kind of good at directions, somebody maybe not so much. And he usually puts two people like that together, usually opposites together. If you're with somebody, you're dating somebody, and you know they're bad at directions and you're bad at directions, maybe you shouldn't get married. You know, that's just me. You know, let's just deal with that. Or if you're both really good, and then you're just going to fight about which way is the right way. You know, it's usually opposites that kind of God puts together. There are times in life, there have been times in life where I've gotten lost. You know, I thought I knew where I was going. I thought I had a plan. And again, especially like, you know, before phones, before, you know, they could bail you out real quickly, ask Siri or, you know, whatever, ask Google how to get there. I usually, you know, I'm usually pretty good about getting to where I want to go. But, you know, every once in a while I've gotten lost. And there's, you know, that sense of being lost, that sense of not kind of knowing where you are. It's kind of a scary feeling. It's kind of a, you know, it's obviously a kind of a stressful feeling to, you know, think you kind of knew what you were doing and where you were going. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I have no idea where I am. And it's just kind of a, you know, just in the moment, it kind of, it bugs you and stresses you out a bit. There's a couple of things about getting lost that I think are true. We never really purposely try to get lost. Like there's, you know, we have an appointment we have to go to, we have a meeting we have to go to, we have somebody we have to meet. Maybe we go to a, you know, Chicago or Indianapolis, go to a town or somewhere we're not, you know, hugely familiar with. It's not like we intend to get lost. It's not like we purposely try to get lost. It's not really, you know, our goal in life is to, oh, you know, help it get lost today. You know, that's not really, our intention isn't to do it on purpose. It's like we're trying to do that. You usually lost before you know you're lost. Like you usually, you, before you ever figure out that you are, you probably already were lost. And it's usually kind of a process to figure that out. And once you figure it out, you've been lost a long time. Like it's been, you know, miles or, you know, hours or whatever. And before you finally figure that out, we know that the road that we're on is going to lead us to the destination that road takes us. Right? I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. Whatever road you're on, you're going to end up where that road takes you. And some of you are like, duh, like big deal, man. I'm really glad I showed up to church today. Was that free? You know, did I have to pay for that? I mean, we already kind of know those things, right? We already kind of understand those things. But what's really interesting about that idea is that no matter how great our intentions are, you know, no matter how big our hopes were, no matter how big our dreams are of trying to get somewhere or go somewhere, it doesn't matter what the intention is. If we're on a certain road, we're going to go where that road takes us. Whether it's the right road or the wrong road, we might have hoped we ended up somewhere else. We might have prayed we ended up somewhere else. We might have intended to end up somewhere else. But if we're on the wrong road, we're going to go where the road takes us. If we're on the wrong path, if we take the wrong turn, we're going to end up where it takes us. We can plan. We just came out of summertime, so every, you know, people go on vacation, you know, they do their traveling thing, they travel, see family, you know, do the family vacation thing. We can plan all we want to go to Florida. We can work hard at, you know, at getting everything ready. We can have our list. We can get it all packed up. We can get the car packed up. We can get the van ready to go. We get the kids in there. They're locked and loaded to go. We've got snacks. We've got iPads. We've got videos. We can get it all ready to go, and we're in there, and we're out the door, and then we head north on 31. You're not going to Florida. You can have the best plans. You can have the best intentions. But if you want to go to Florida and you decide to turn right on 31 and head north, you ain't going to Florida. And you can have all the plans and dreams. You can have all the pictures. You can have all the brochures. Everybody can be excited. We're going to Florida. You know, we're doing it. Yeah, Disney, here we come. Whatever. But if you turn right, if you head north on 31, it doesn't matter. because you're not going to Florida. And we all understand that. Like, you didn't need to show up to church this morning to understand that. You didn't need a GPS lesson, a directions lesson, a compass lesson. You didn't need that this morning. We all get that. We understand that's how it works in life. That's why some of us rely on Siri or rely on our phone or rely on GPS, because we're not really great at it. And instead of taking a right on 31 to go to Florida, we know we're just going to follow what she tells us to do, and we're going to eventually be able to get there. We get that and understand that. But the reality is there's a principle there. It's not just about where we go and traveling in our cars or going on vacation. It's a principle for life as well. That there are paths, there are direction, there are roads we can go on in life, and that road is going to take us to where that road leads. Whether we want to go that way or not, if we decide to go in that direction, if we decide to follow that path, it's going to take us where it eventually goes. No matter what our intention is, no matter what our plans are, no matter what we believe, no matter what our faith, the level of faith belief, we don't have to. This is not a spiritual thing. This is not a hope you believe the right things thing. This is not, you got to believe everything about the Bible. This is a life principle that we find. That we can have the best laid intentions, we can have the best dreams, we can have the best goals, but we're going to end up, whatever road we're on, we're going to end up where that road takes us. And it's not just for travel, it's not just for our vehicles, it's for life as well. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to explore this idea a little bit more, and we're going to dive into this a little bit more, because the reality is we end up on roads, we end up on paths, we end up in directions in life where we get in trouble, and it messes us up. And then we get angry at ourselves, we get angry at our parents, we get angry at God. Like, how could I end up here? This is not fair, this isn't right, I just must be unlucky, God doesn't love me. And the reality is, we violated the principle of life. We moved in a direction, we followed a path that eventually has the end, that eventually has the destination, we just were on the wrong one. And either we didn't see it, somebody we were around didn't see it, somebody that cared for us didn't see it, we were on the wrong path. We were going in the wrong direction. And so there's a principle of life that we're going to discover. I'm going to share with you at the end of today that we're going to kind of build into. One of the things that I've discovered in working in ministry for a long time, as you work with people and they get to a point in their life where they've gone the wrong direction, they've had some failure, they've had some hurt, their life's just kind of messed up. Their relationship's messed up, marriage is messed up, kids are messed up, finances are messed up, whatever. I mean, they get to a place in life, they get to a point in life where they've made some wrong choices, made some wrong decisions, maybe great people, maybe people of faith, maybe followers of Jesus, whatever, and they get to a place and they're not where they want to be. And what we find or what we discover is that most personal problems can't be fixed. We try to fix it, so we go to a pastor or we find a counselor and we need to go somewhere and we want to get fixed. Like, we need this fixed. I'm in the wrong place. I went the wrong direction. My life is a mess now. I've got all this stuff that I'm dealing with. And so we try to find the fix. And the reality is, most of our problems can't be fixed. If I hit a deer or I get in an accident, I take it to a body shop and I submit to insurance or whatever, and they take it in there and they paint it and they fix it and they put the stuff on it, or they put new parts on it and they get it all, fixed up and you get it and it looks like it's like brand new. Some of you have experienced that before. You've hit something before. You've been in an accident before. You take your car in, you wait a week or two and you get it back. And so, that's happened a few times in life. And I'm a guy. And so when that, you get the car back and, you check it out, you look down on it, you look from the side, try to find all the angles. Did they miss a spot? Did they get the, paint just right? Are there any more scratches? You're trying to look for it. And usually, especially, I've had some work done, in some of the body shops around this area. They do a really good job. And, you get it back and it looks like brand new. Right? And it's like they know what they're doing. And it's just, you're kind of checking out, you're looking for the flaws, and they usually do a really good job. And it's like brand new. It's like, oh, this is awesome. Your appliance breaks at home, refrigerator breaks down or whatever. You call the repairman, you call in the warranty. They come out and they fix it. And it's like brand new. It's like, yeah, we didn't have to buy anything. We just, got it repaired. You have a computer that gets a little, slow. computer that has some stuff on it. You take somebody who's, you know, good at that stuff, and they work on it. They fix it, and you get it back. It's like a brand new computer, right? It's fast again. YouTube, you know, whatever. You just know it's not slowing down. It's kind of fun. Your phone gets a little goofy. You take it in the store. You know, they do some things to it. You know, put some codes in or whatever. And, you know, they get it back like, oh, it's like a brand new phone. It's fast again. You know, all the stuff that you want to do, it's just like brand new. We're not cars. We're human beings. We're complex people. When we get into trouble in life, because we've gone the wrong way, we've gone the wrong path, we've gone the wrong road, and we've gotten ourselves into trouble, we're not a car. We just can't get fixed like brand new. We have memories. We have pasts. And we can learn from those things, we can be resilient through those things, we can fight through those things, we can grow through those things, but the reality is my problems, our problems that we have in life, aren't problems that can necessarily be fixed. Because even though I want to, you know, I can learn from my past, and past doesn't necessarily have to define me, it's still my past, it's still there. Those memories are still there. The pain, the hurt, that stuff, it's still a part of me. And so most of the problems that we, personal problems we have in life aren't things that we can fix, but they are things that can be avoided. A lot of problems that we deal with in life are problems that can be avoided. They're problems that if I saw where I was going, if I was able to kind of track that, and if you're a parent, you totally get this. You totally understand this with our kids. As they get a little bit older, as we start to let them kind of make more choices on their own, as they get out, they start going to school, they're growing up, young adults, maybe they're out of school, they start having their own family, we can offer them advice, we can talk to them, but we can see sometimes the choices they're making. It's leading down a path that we know the ultimate destination is not where you're going to want to be. Sometimes they just have to learn from that. Sometimes they just have to, they have to experience that on their own, but we can see it. We watch it happen, and we can see them navigating down there. And so what we find is that a lot of the problems we have, personal problems, they're problems that maybe not can't be fixed, but they're definitely problems that can be avoided when we get lost. When we get lost in that moment, when we finally figure out we're lost, in that moment we don't need a solution, we don't need a fix, we need direction. We call somebody, we call our friend, we call somebody who lives in that city, we tell them where we are, they give us the process. They tell us where to go. They give us the directions. You got to turn on this street, you got to go down this road, you got to go to that light, and they give us the plan and how we're going to get out of it. It's not something that can just be fixed. There's not necessarily a solution that we need. We need direction. We need something to change. And there's some process that goes into that change of being lost to being where we want to go. Jesus talks about this at the end of a long talk that he did at one point in his ministry. It's a sermon, a talk, a lecture that he gave to a large crowd of people that were around him. And at the end of that talk, Jesus kind of talks about this idea, and he tells us a story. He makes up a story basically about two different people, and he helps us see through a contrast of the story, this contrast of two different people, this idea, this principle that we discover, this principle about life that we discover, about the direction of our life, about the path of our life, and about where we're going to end up, and are we going to end up where we want to end up, or are we going to move ourselves, are we moving ourselves into a place where we're just going to experience trouble and hurt and pain. If you brought a Bible with you this morning, I want to work through these words with you really quickly. In the book of Matthew, in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels that tell us the story of Jesus, kind of the back third of your Bible if you brought your phone or your tablet, Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew 7, we see the kind of the end of this talk, what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was, there was a lot of people around him, crowded around him, and he's giving this talk, and he's talking about things that not that he's changing the rules, but he's kind of helping them understand better what it means to follow him, what it means to have a relationship with him, what it means to be a, what they would know as a religious person. And he's kind of put them in awe, and the words that he uses and the way that he talks to them. They were used to the teachers of the law, the way that they were kind of very critical and condescending. And then Jesus comes along and he helps them understand the deeper things of life in a much easier way, in a much easier tone. And there's just something very powerful for them as they listen to all of this. And so at the end of this talk, Jesus shares this story. And if you've hung around church, or you know, you grew up going to Sunday school, you've heard this story before. There's even a song that goes along with it. I'm going to try not to sing the song. But you've heard these words before, more than likely. And it's in this story that Jesus creates, or it's in this story that he tells, that we discover a principle that is so, so very important for us in understanding what Jesus can do for us and what he can't do for us. Matthew 7, verse 24, we'll have the words for you on the screen. Therefore, after all of the things that he just said, after this whole long talk, out of all of these things he just shared, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, everyone who hears these words, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago in this idea of being the bridge, this idea of hearing the words and believing. It's the idea of it's not just hearing it. It's not just getting credit because you showed up to church and you heard it, you know, you heard the talk, you heard the lecture, you made it through. Oh, you know, we got through it. It's 35 minutes a day. Oh, it was a little long. We got through it though. We're going to, you know, we got our fix for the week and we're good to go. It's not just hearing the words. It's not just getting credit for hearing the words. Jesus says it's putting it into practice. It's using them. It's doing something with it. It's putting it into implementation into our life. It's using them. It's doing them. As strange as they might sound, as different as they might be from the culture you live in, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, what happens? Will experience immediate relief relationally, financially, professionally, along with various other allies. That's not what your Bible says?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try this one, Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will have discovered the fix for all of their problems. That's not your Bible either? All right. Therefore, no, it's not. This is what he says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. Maybe he's a smart man. Maybe he's talented. Could be wealthy. That's not how Jesus defines him. He says, everyone who hears these words, not just credit for hearing, but also uses them, puts them into practice, applies them into their life, is like a wise man. The scriptures teach us about wisdom, and throughout the scriptures, the Old Testament, the prophets, Solomon, Proverbs, the Psalms, Jesus, Paul, the early followers of Jesus, the scriptures teach us the wisdom that people who are wise, we've talked about this before, that people who are wise understand that life is connected. That the choices I make today directly affect the future of my life. That how I live today, how I parent today, how I spend my money today, how I do life today will directly affect somewhere down the road the future of my life, the future of my children's lives, their future children's lives. That all of life is connected. The scriptures teach us that is what a wise person is. A person of wisdom is somebody who understands that everything they do in their life is connected. That the way they live their life is connected. That the past is connected to the present, which is an incredible indicator of what the future could potentially look like. Not that I have control over the future, but the choices and the way I live my life usually indicate where this is all going. And we see this. We see this in life. We see this with our friends. We see this with our kids as parents. We know that we can watch somebody's life and we can sometimes have perspective they don't have. And we can see if you walk on that path, that's where you're going. That is probably where you're going to end up. If you live like that, if you act like that, if you spend like that, if you hang with those kind of people, that's where you're going to end up. And a wise person understands that life is connected, that direction is a great indicator of where that road is going to eventually take us. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built. Jesus talks about building something. To build something takes time. It takes effort. It's hard work. It's discipline. To build something valuable, to build something that's very important to us, there's probably delayed gratification involved. Right? If you want to build something of great worth, of value, you want to build something large, you want to build a brand new home, you want to build something that's important to you, it's probably not something you're going to start today and finish tomorrow. It takes time. And you have to stay on it. You have to stay with it. You have to work hard at it. You have to invest into it. You have to invest time and effort and energy into it. And more than likely, there's going to be a lot of delayed gratification in the building process. You're not going to get all of the win at the front end. You get the win on the back end. So Jesus says that this is like a wise man who built his house. Now he's telling a story, and he's not telling us, he's not giving us an exact, retelling of somebody's exact life. He's building a picture for us, and the house is like somebody's life. It's not a literal house, but it's a picture, it's symbolic of a life that a person of wisdom, a person who understands that life is connected, that how I live today directly affects where I am tomorrow. That it's like building that house. It's like my life. It's my relationships. It's my marriage. It's how I parent. It's how we parent together. It's how we spend our resources. It's how I move my life ethically. It's how I look at life morally. That it's my reputation. It's all of me. That a wise man is like somebody who built his house, his life. It represents every part of us on the rock. Now, when Jesus spoke those words, those might not mean a lot to us. But when Jesus spoke those words to those who were listening to him that day, when he finishes up this long sermon and he talks about this wise man who understands that life is connected, and he's like a wise man who built his house on a rock, they immediately understood what Jesus was saying. In their part of the world where they lived, the idea of building your house on a rock meant great sacrifice. It was hard work. There was a lot of work involved in doing that. There was a lot of money invested in doing that. It took a lot of wealth in order to build that way. But that's the way. If you wanted to last, if you wanted something to last, if you wanted a return on investment eventually someday in life, that's how you would do it. That would be the best way to do it. And there would be people sometimes, if you built that way, they would look at you and say, well, that's not worth it. But if you wanted something long term, then you knew this is the way that you were to do it. And it represented something that was very hard. It represented something that would take a lot of time and effort. See, following Jesus isn't an immediate fix. He doesn't fix all of our problems. Following Jesus is a process. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes discipline. It takes some delayed gratification, because you're not going to build on a rock today. It's not all going to happen in the moment. And so Jesus paints this picture about what it is to follow him. And people might even look at that as a waste of time and effort. But for somebody, that's very important to them to have that return. But, Jesus says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. You hear them, but then you don't do anything about it. You hear those words, you know those words, your grandma taught you those words, you heard those words in Sunday school, you showed up to church, you listened to it, but you don't do what it says, you don't follow through on it, you're like a foolish man. And in Scripture, it says it talks a lot about foolishness. It talks a lot about people who would be considered fools. And the fool in Scripture is always the person who believes that life is disconnected, that the way I live my life today has no bearing on what happens tomorrow. Today's today. I'll spend my money the way I want. I'll eat the way I want. I'll live the way I want. And it won't matter about tomorrow. All I'm worried about is today. All I'm worried about is the moment. All I'm worried about is making them happy today. All I care about is coming through today. And that, according to Scripture, that is what a fool is, that now is now and later is later. It's kind of like, a fool is kind of like how we mess with our electronic devices. We've kind of learned in our culture that when something electronically we have, a computer, you know, our Wi-Fi router at home or our phone, you know, like something happens, you know, there's certain things we can do to it. It's happened to me this week. I'm sitting in my office. I'm not even doing anything with my phone. I'm sitting in my office, and all of a sudden it just stops. Like, it's not, it says it doesn't have a SIM card anymore, and I can't get calls, and I can't get texts. And it's like, you know, when that happens, when your phone, like, just gets dumb, it's like the end of the world. Like, I can't function now. Now I got to fix my phone. I got to figure it out because I might get a text. I need texts. I need Twitter. You know, I need these things. I got to fix this. So you go online. It's like, oh, what do I got to do? You follow the steps. And usually, more often than not, what do in life when something electronic, we turn it off or we unplug it from the back, you know, Wi-Fi right at home. We unplug it. And then what do we do? 1, 2, 3. Like, we count to 10, right? Because they say count to 10. Because if you do 7, it's not going to work. But if you go to 10, obviously then everything starts back up again. The gerbils, the hamsters start running in or whatever. So you turn it off. You know, you reset it. You know, you give 10 seconds and you turn it back on. Then everything's supposed to work again, right? Well, here's what a fool does. A fool looks at life just the same way. When life doesn't go the way we want it to go, well, I will just reset. It's not a big deal. Just unplug. We'll just wait 10 seconds and then everything will be better. If it doesn't work out, I'll just move out. It's no big deal. Just move out. Find someone else. Who cares? We spend. We live our way financially. It's not a big deal. I'll declare bankruptcy. It's easy. Michael Scott, just walk around the office. Bankruptcy. You know, you just declare bankruptcy and everything gets worked out. It's no big deal. It's how we live life. We'll just reset. That's how a fool looks at life. A fool doesn't understand that life is connected. A fool believes that now is now and later is later. And I'll live life now, I'll do it now, and who cares about what tomorrow is? I'll just reset. We'll just unplug, and we'll just wait 10 seconds, and then everything will be fixed, and everything will be better. And we know that's not how life works, and yet that's sometimes how we live. That's sometimes how we make choices. That's sometimes how we parent. That's sometimes how we spend resources. That's sometimes how we spend time. That's sometimes how we eat, how we take care of ourselves. All of these things. And we can be people of deep faith. But sometimes we follow paths, we follow roads, we follow direction, and we forget that life is connected. So Jesus says, it's like a foolish man who hears those words but doesn't put them into practice and who builds his house, his life on sand. The quick way, the easy way, the immediate way. Doesn't take any effort, doesn't take any work, immediate gratification. It feels good now. I get the win now. I don't have to wait for it. It's just easy. Just get it done and it's over. Because the weather today is going to be the same as the weather tomorrow, right? I mean, if it's that way today, obviously tomorrow, if it's easy to build on it today, obviously tomorrow it's going to be the same way. And if you've heard this story before, if you've heard the song before, if you went to Sunday school, you know exactly what happens next. The rains came down and the floods came up. Yeah, see, so yes, I knew I couldn't. You can't read this story without singing the song, and there's even motions to it, right? Yeah, some of you are very spiritual. You went to Sunday school growing up. The rains came down and the floods. Yeah. See, the weather today is not the same as the weather tomorrow. And so Jesus says, the foolish man builds his life, his house on the sand, on the easy way, the immediate way, the quick way. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. There's no easy fix. There's no easy solution. Listen, Jesus says this man suffered total loss. This isn't just call the repairman to come in and fix the hole in the roof. This isn't just call the guy to come over and fix the crack in the foundation because we kind of built on the wrong spot. No, he lost everything. And this is what happens. This is what Jesus is warning these people as they listen. This is what he's warning us. There's a principle in life. When you follow the wrong path, you get to a place in life and you're not going to be able to get fixed. There's not a solution. It is a total loss. We should have seen it coming. Like we should have been able to look into our future a little bit and seen it coming. And there probably was somebody in our life who maybe even tried to warn us about it. Maybe even said to us, hey, you're going the wrong direction. You're playing with fire. You're headed in a path that's not going in the right. You're not going to end up where you want to go. I want God to bless me financially, so I'm not going to give him anything. I want to meet a great Christian guy who's really got his act together, so I'm going to go out with whoever asks me if he's cute. I want a great sex life once I'm married, so I'm going to practice with the people I date until then. I want our family to be a unit, everybody on the same page, looking forward to vacation together, so I'm going to go work all the time. I want my kids to respect me, so I'm going to fool around on their mom. I want my kids to stay away from alcohol, so I'm going to drink responsibly. I want to grow old and invest in my grandchildren, so I'm going to neglect my health. I want my children to be brought up with the same Christian values I had, so we're going to go to the lake on Sundays. I want to lose weight, so supersize that, won't you? I want to have a great relationship with my husband, so I'm going to make the children a priority over him. I don't want to live with financial pressure, so I'm going to live beyond my means. I want to support some charity, so I'm going to spend all my money on me. I want to know God. I'm not going to read my Bible. Why would I do that? We make these choices. We follow these paths. We say these things. And it's a road that ultimately has a destination, but is it the destination that we really want? Jesus describes this foolish man as somebody who experiences total loss in that moment. There's no fixing that. There's no changing that. He describes the person who built their house on the rock. When the rain came down on the first house, it did not fall because those folks are so lucky. Everything works out for them. God obviously loves them more than he loves me. I wish God would love me as much as he loves them. They'd never have any problems in their life. No, it's not what Scripture says, right? When the rain came down on the first house, it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Because it took time. It took energy. It took effort. It took discipline. There was delayed gratification. There was a willingness to say, we're in this for the long haul. We're going to live this. We're going to make these hard choices now, knowing that down the road, there's a potential benefit and payoff to that. You reap what you sow. We talked about that last week, Galatians 6, right? There's a principle all throughout Scripture that we see this played out over and over and over again, that you reap what you sow. If you sow the right seed, if you make the right choices, eventually you see that harvest. And when the rains come, when the floods come, when the waves break into life, when life gets really, really hard, we can stand up the test of time. We can stand up against those things because there's a direct cause and effect to our lives and the choices we make. You can't wish your way out of this stuff. You can't pray your way out of it. You can't hope your way out of it. The principle of life is this, that direction, not intention, determines destination. Direction, not intention, not hopes, not dreams, not enough prayers, determines destination. Direction. The direction you are headed in your life, the path you are following in your life determines where you end up. You can have the greatest intentions. You can have the best hopes. You can be the best prayer in your family. It does not matter. If you want to go to Florida and you turn right and head north, you aren't going there. And so what we see in our life is the exact same thing. What Jesus wants us to understand and what we're going to discover over these next couple weeks as we dive a little bit deeper into this principle of life, this principle of the path, is this discovery that direction, not intention, determines destination. We can have the best intentions we want for our kids. We can have the best intentions we want for our family. We can have the best intentions we want for our career. But if we are on the wrong path, we will not end up where we want to be. And we'll get there. We'll be mad at God. We'll be mad at our spouse. We're mad at our parents. We're mad at all these other people. And the reality was, we were the ones who chose to walk on the path. Does that mean that I can't change direction? No. We would discover over the next couple of weeks, we absolutely can. But it's hard. It's not an immediate fix. It's not immediate gratification. It takes discipline. We can change that path, but we have to be able to see it. That's why you need people in your life who care enough about you to be able to sit down with you and say, you might want to rethink that choice. You might want to rethink that relationship. You might want to rethink what you're doing there. Not because they are Bible answer man, Bible answer woman, they have all the answers, because they care enough about you to sit down and look at you just like a parent would with their kid. No, don't go there. Don't do that. I remember there's a story in our family. We always go up north every summer for vacation, and there's this little town that we always hang out in, and it's kind of an interesting way they do traffic in their town, and there's like a one-way with a couple lanes, and then there's like a center median, and there's another two-lane one-way, and you walk across these to get to the other side. And I mean, traffic isn't moving very fast, but I remember one time we were up there when the kids were little, and I think it was Mason, who just ran out. And as a parent in that moment, you're like, I remember screaming at him. It happened so fast. And it just, like, you're not thinking, and you say things you probably shouldn't say, and you're yelling things. And I remember grabbing a hold of, you know, just dragging him, because there's cars coming, and he is totally not seeing what's happening. As a parent, was I mad at him? No, my heart was like, break, like, this is not going to happen to my child. God sees us. He sees the path that we are walking on. He sees the path that we're on, the road that we're on. And sometimes I think his heart breaks for us. And he's saying things. He's yelling. He's trying to get our attention. Direction, not intention, determines destination.